Jersey is the world.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Jersey is the World. My name is Chris Gethard. Thank you so much for listening to the show, for supporting us over the years, for allowing us to explore New Jersey from so many different angles. It's very cool of you. We're psyched to be here. Also, have to say thanks to everybody who comes out to the shows Carson has been putting on at Ghost Talk Brewing. You can follow us on Instagram for info on these. These are shows that don't have a cover. Carson goes in, sets up bands, throws down. Ghost Talk's right across the street from Rutt's Hut, and they are cool Jersey evenings. So first of all, thanks to Carson for setting those up. Second of all, I think I speak on behalf of Carson and all of us here at New Jersey is the World when I say thanks to everybody who's been coming out, being a part of those shows. Also, I have to say thanks to everybody who has signed up at patreon.com/newjerseyistheworld. If you are a member over there, you know we just put up an episode on Friday of South Jersey is Also the World, which Andrea hosts and I co-host, where Andrea came up with a great topic, which was, would North Jersey or South Jersey be able to assemble a better crew to rob a casino in Atlantic City? And it was a very fun conversation that was sprung on me. And man, did we have a good time with it. So thanks to everybody who's been listening. And if you want to sign up, again, that's patreon.com/newjerseyistheworld. We've got some very exciting stuff in the works. Happy to tell you that this week I'm interviewing a couple people, one of whom I have said is, one of them is a huge part of something I've long argued is a very underrated aspect of growing up in Jersey, especially in the 90s, that is not talked about enough as a Jersey thing. Let's bring that on you soon. Also got a lot of other stuff in the works, as we always do, because we bite off more than we can chew around here, and then we scramble to deliver. Today's episode, very excited to bring it to you. It's summer. It's coming up, baby. It's getting warm. We're starting to see it, right? People are starting to hit those boardwalks. People are going to be hitting those beaches soon. People need books to read when they're out there on the Jersey Shore, or out there cruising boats on Lake Hepatcong, drop an anchor, and you just want to read something. It's our reading list, which we did a version of many years ago, but happy to revisit it. And you'll not be shocked to hear that Mike D has an impeccable library of books that apply to the Jersey experience. I put out two things there. One that allows us to go down a bit of a historical tangent about somebody who I think is sort of the OG of Jersey culture. And another, which is a challenge to start a little bit of a reading group. If anyone wants to get in on it, I would be so happy. Let me know in the comments over at the Patreon. Enjoy it, everybody. Hello, New Jersey. My beloved New Jersey. So good to talk to all of you. My name is Chris Gethard, and I'm here with the Wotown gang. Nikki Bonaduce, you and I are both running on fumes right now, and that sometimes leads to bad episodes, and sometimes it leads to our best stuff. How are you holding up? How are you feeling?
There's nothing like a little delirium to add even more fun to the show.
Yeah, I got trapped in the city last night. I just missed a train to Morristown, and then had to wait the hour and a half for the next one. But it was nice because I did wind up sitting in a seat across from, I'm not exactly certain how they identify, I believe a trans woman named Dusk, who recognized me and chatted me up and let me know what concerts they were at that night. And it was a pretty delightful conversation. So Dusk, if you're listening, it was a true delight and pleasure talking to you. Nick, how are you holding up?
I'm doing pretty good. Like, on the train at that hour, there's like a lot of different seats. Like, usually the MO is to like stay the fuck away from everybody, right? I mean,
yeah.
How did that happen? I'm doing okay though, but you know, it's fucking Tuesday. It was hot yesterday. It was cold today. Up is down. Down is up.
Indeed. This is going to be a good one. I was thinking of some of my favorite moments today from the run of New Jersey is the World in its entirety. And what were the two I was debating are the best all-time moment? Oh, I was like, I wonder, is it Vin Gopal's skin suit? Is it when Jimmy Buffett died and you thought Jimmy Buff died only to find out that Jimmy Buffett died? decades ago. There was another one that I was laughing so hard at.
The Macaroni Factory. What it was,
but they were all Bonaduce. Might have been the Macaroni Factory.
That is...
Every individual moment I could think of, though, was just you saying or doing something totally unhinged. Mike D, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. I was down in New Brunswick over the weekend, taking in Rutgers Day, seeing the sights, getting some New Jersey culture.
Oh, how was that?
It was fun. I've been before in the last few years, but I was saying to Nick earlier, New Brunswick is a completely different planet than we were there. When we were there, it's so much calmer. It was a gorgeous Saturday afternoon. Like the weather hadn't been that nice in a really long time.
Yeah.
There was not a single student out making mischief or partying in New Brunswick, and I was completely shocked. Every porch empty.
Yeah, that's weird. You
know, no one sitting outside. It was really odd.
I know this is kind of the general premise for all of our conversations, but between us all growing up in West Orange and then going to Rutgers in that era, I was thinking today, I was like, man, Cal's childhood, if something insane happens, it will be viewed as an anomaly. Whereas I do think it's fair to say in West Orange and New Brunswick for us, if something insane happened, it was viewed as the standard and unsurprising. And we just always had, my mom and dad stayed with us a few days. We had Cal turned 5 last week.
Hey.
We had his little birthday party.
Happy birthday, Cal.
Yeah, we had his little birthday on Saturday. And then there was a family reunion for my dad's side of the family.
Oh, awesome.
On Sunday, which never happens. It was down with one of his cousins in Monmouth County. People I'm meeting who, dude, straight up, here's how my family works. People like reaching out to see who's coming and me being like, and wait, how are you related to this person? He's like, oh, that's my first cousin. I'm like, I've never heard of this person. It's my father's first cousin. I'm like, now I'm thinking, oh, they must've grown up like down South Jersey or something. I'm like, where'd they grow up? Oh, you know, the street behind Carvel. I'm like, wait, like 3 blocks from the house where I grew up. Yeah. They grew up right there. I'm like, okay. And I never met this person. He's like, you met them probably when you were like 4 or 5. But dude, you know, my mom grew up on Liberty Street, which is effectively when Watchung Ave hits Washington Street across from Washington, it sort of little step, but it becomes Liberty Street. My mom was telling Hallie some stories about what it was like for my mom growing up. And you guys know my mom. She's this little tiny person. She's always been. My mom was telling me, she's like, she said the Liberty Street playground that the whole area played on, it's still there, tiny little playground.
Yeah.
She said all the parents started contacting the town because there was no fence. So every time they were like playing with a ball, it would go out in the street and the kids would run in the street and the parents were like, there's not too much traffic, but a kid's going to get hit by a car. Like they're constantly running out. Can we get a fence? And they had to beg the town. And she said, then instead of putting up a fence, the town put up these like insane bushes with 6-inch fucking thorns.
Oh,
so now all of a sudden you had kids like falling into the bushes or pushing each other to the bushes and getting sliced apart and like unable to free themselves. She was like, that's just how we got used to being treated down the hill. And then she was like, she was telling all these stories. She's like, we didn't do ourselves any favors. They finally put a bench. They were like, all the parents were saying, we need someplace to sit in this park while we watch our kids. Got a park bench. And she was like, and they knew all the kids from down the hill were fucking insane. So the town physically chained it to the water fountain, which they, and this is the most Western shit in the world. And you guys will be happy to hear this reaches far back beyond our generation. She was like, the mistake they made was they chained this fucking thing to the water fountain and all the kids in the neighborhood then took that as a challenge. And within like 48 hours of us getting a bench, the chain was popped, the bench got picked up and smashed into the brook, and the town never replaced the fucking bench.
Yep, that tracks.
Yeah. And then she was telling me one time, that's pure West Orange behavior of like, oh, you gave us a nice thing, we'll destroy it. Oh, you chained it up so we can't get to it? Now we'll definitely fucking destroy it. That's down the hill attitude right there. Then she's telling me one time, my mom telling me, and I saw the look on Hallie's face. Hallie was like, this is unbelievable. My mom was telling me she was once coming home from high school. She got off the bus up from the valley. She's going to walk down Liberty Street. The cops won't let her because a guy who had escaped from police custody was shot to death in her driveway. This is my mom when she's like 16, 17 years old.
Oh my God.
She's like a dead man in her. You can't go home. We killed a guy. He's in your driveway.
We gotta spray down the driveway first.
I tried to look it up.
You know what the bench reminds me of?
What's that?
One of the, I just thought of this the other day for the first time in a very long time. One of the all-time acts of mean mischief. Do you remember, maybe at this point it's probably 20 something years ago, they used to have that really famous orchid garden in Montclair, and they had really rare orchids from all around the world there.
Is it near like the Montclair Museum maybe over there?
Yeah, a little closer to the West Orange side though.
Okay.
And one night a bunch of sort of surly teenagers went in there and just weed whacked and chopped down every single orchid in the garden. And a lot of them were rare from around the world. It was this sort of award-winning garden. And yeah, I was thinking like, we can't have anything nice. Kids are just going to wreck it.
Oh yeah. Wait, was it the orchids or the tulip?
I thought it was orchids.
I think it's that big. It's the tulips. They went in with golf clubs and they destroyed the fucking famous tulip.
They destroyed them.
Or irises, maybe some people. Let me look it up. Let's look it up.
We also mentioned that even middle of the hill, our benches were chained to stuff.
And that would be like the thing.
They would have the two giant concrete sides.
Nick, it wouldn't. This thing where you insist there's a middle of the hill, you just proved yourself wrong. Guess what? If the town chains things to stuff so it can't be destroyed, you live down the hill. That's the ultimate signifier right there. Guess what? Up near St. Cloud and Pleasantdale? They don't chain things down. Irises, iris gardens. Iris. Small fine, big restitution for iris vandals.
Did they catch
them? Written up in Montclair. And they caught them.
What year?
And here's how you know what happened in Montclair. It got covered by NPR.
Ah.
That's how you know it was a crime in Montclair.
It was all those fucking
got covered by NPR.
Brooklyn expats.
It was 2006. Let's see, 2006. Two 19-year-old kids, and they each faced $500 fines, were ordered to write letters to the press and publicly apologize.
That's such fucking
30-day suspended jail terms, and the teens agreed to pay $17,000 in restitution for damage they caused.
Whoa.
A third defendant had his case dismissed.
Wow. He had a better lawyer.
And they wanted to give them a bunch of community service as well, but they couldn't do it. Let's see. The comments section on this is great from the Montclair local. Let's see. The iris frenzy was fueled by alcohol. Underage drinking is a huge problem in this town.
Oh my God. That's the least of Montclair's fucking problems.
Yeah, the entire town, government residing. That's an issue. I loved hearing those stories from my mom. I loved hearing that West Orange was exactly like our childhood during her childhood. Also, some other things I wanted to throw at you guys. You see, Pete Genovese has put out another great article. We might have to invite him back on the show.
I did read that article about the 24-hour diners. Which ones are left?
He ranked all the remaining 24-hour diners, and it was great. It was great.
You know what? I mean, I love Pete as a human and also the way he writes, but one thing I think he does that is very honorable is when he lists out how many things he orders at each diner. I mean, he basically orders 2 to 3 full meals, including dessert, to make sure that he gets a...
He was ordering,
you know...
Yeah, good fare.
He said he ordered 5 items and cheesecake from every diner.
I respect that.
It's fucking crazy.
Hey, when you're not paying, who cares?
And we've all met him. He's like fit.
Yeah, super fit.
He's one of those guys, he's one of those skinny guys that can eat like a fucking horse.
No, he's a runner.
Does he run a lot, you think?
Yeah, whatever.
He does. We've chatted about running before.
But I get the cheesecake thing is clutch,
just
man.
Just runs from diner to diner.
I got asked the other night why I was ordering fucking cheesecake and coffee at like 1:30 in the morning. And I was like, the fuck? I was like, you think that's weird? They're like, yeah, how can you eat that after you've been drinking all night? I fucking care. I want cheesecake and coffee. Why can't I have that? I said, you know why I'm having this? Because I can't have fucking disco fries right now. That's why. It's hard to find good ones down here, I'll tell you.
I do need to warn everybody, I'm already having technical difficulties. At some point, now I'm on the generator. At some point, the power will come back on. I'll get kicked off again. And at any given point, I might hear from the first aid squad, and I'm freaking out because my phone is auto-updating, and that's where I get all my information on
That's okay.
The calls. So there's a whole number of factors happening here tonight. But man, am I psyched to talk about New Jersey. Now, Mike D, you suggested summer's coming. People need to know what they're going to be out there reading on the beach. Why don't we make some suggestions for people's New Jersey summer reading lists? And I'm all about it. I am not going to list things that I have recently read because I've mostly really any for some reason I've just been on a big kick of reading books about comic books, like reading books on the history of comic books. That's where I've been at lately. But I do have both a recommendation for people out there that'll lead us down some good rabbit holes, as well as a pledge. If anyone wants to start a book club, there's a specific thing I want to go for. So I have a couple things that are not things that I've necessarily read in recent memory, but one thing I'm going to read and one thing that I think anyone who likes this podcast should read. How about you?
I've got a whole list of things that I've recently read. And then I also have some listener suggestions that people emailed in as well, which I think are interesting.
When did you solicit these suggestions?
I didn't. It was people email us on a daily basis.
Ideas,
and many of these emails are like, hey, you should check out this really interesting book, movie, play, something about New Jersey. And most of the time they're good. You know,
I do believe you did get an email recommending a Jersey Devil themed play that you did go to and like.
I did get an email saying, hey, I bet you would like this. And it was a goth musical about the Jersey Devil. It was awesome. I mean, it had great live music. It was in the old schoolhouse in Metuchen, which is like a small venue that people can rent out for things. And it was great. I mean, it was just fun. It had like cool little costumes. But I guess this isn't a spoiler because I'm not giving details. But when you see the Jersey Devil puppet in this thing, it will absolutely blow
really?
Your mind. I'm talking George Lucas first Star Wars level of special effects. I mean, it was incredible, like larger than life. I mean, it really did look like the Jersey Devil was walking around in this tiny place. It was amazing. So I, yeah,
love that.
Definitely would check this out.
Bonaduce, any reading recommendations from you in this episode? You had expressed that you have not been reading anything that applies lately in our text thread.
I should be on an ad campaign for like reading is fun, Mel, and I don't fucking read anything anymore unless I have to. But in the summertime, the one thing that I still enjoy is periodicals. So good time. Weird New Jersey just came out. Big fan of Hold It In Your Hand, fucking National Geographic, anything like that. I will commonly go into, I guess, like a supermarket, whatever, and go to the outrageously expensive fucking magazine section and pick up some kind of giant, like, Time Life fucking picture fucking book. So if it has pictures, I'm in. My problem is this. I always see people reading on the beach. I have this problem, like, if I'm out on the beach, I just want to be watching everything around me or staring at the waves. I don't want to be reading a book. I don't know. I feel like I get it. It's for a lot of people. This is very relaxing. I just am not wired that way. I should probably be medicated, but I'm not. And you know what I mean? But I get it. I used to love, and I have a problem. I have a hard time reading fiction. I'm like, since I was a kid, all I can read are these and I'm obsessed with like fucking war books, first person war, like biographies to this day and aliens. That's about it. And aliens are pretty prevalent now, so.
I'm glad you mentioned the new Weird New Jersey, though. Issue 62, it's got a big red devil face on the cover. It's just amazing to me. Like most people, you know, you had to really be in the know to know about the first 7 issues of Weird New Jersey because it was really underground. It was mostly just Mark Skirman giving it to friends of his. Then they talked about it on WFMU and people started to chatter about it. And issue 8 was the one that started showing up in comic book stores and a couple of the Borders books across the state. So I've been reading since issue 8, and they're now on issue 62. They only put out 2 a year. That's astounding. Kudos to my old friends and mentors at Weird NJ. It's a good issue.
It's a great issue. Nick, did you see they did a whole thing about the abandoned mill next to the gingerbread house?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They are both incredibly... That's pretty crazy. They demolished it, unfortunately, which is sad.
Since we're talking about Weird NJ... I want to go ahead and plug my first thing, if that's okay, Mike T.
Go for it. Plug away.
There's a name, it's come up on the show, but I don't think we've ever dived in too deep on the work of Henry Charlton Beck, have we? I know we did another reading list episode a year or two ago.
Once or twice, I think.
It's, we've touched on it, yeah, here and there.
Henry Charlton Beck is the OG Jersey enthusiast. I think Weird New Jersey doesn't happen. Pete Genovese doesn't happen. This podcast doesn't happen. Anything out there that's a celebration of Jersey. And as we know, there's a whole world of Jersey Instagram. And I know every state has their own version of this, but there's a lot of Jersey pride. And for a state that's as small as ours, it's kind of an outsized vocal pride. So much of that starts with this guy, Henry Charlton Beck. He wrote 6 books. I read a whole bunch of them back in the day. A, because I took a class at Rutgers called Jerseyana, New Jersey as a Culture, where we had to read some of them. But B, I mean, this guy died in 1965, and I was reading his books to find leads for Weird New Jersey Stories when I worked there in the early 2000s.
Cool.
This guy was on top of his shit. He wrote 6 books. I'm going to tell you, he also wound up writing, I read up on him today, he wrote like a Jerseyana column for the North Sunday Star Ledger for many, many years. A lot of his books are actually collections of newspaper articles. He was born in Philly, but he grew up in Haddonfield, buried in Camden, real South Jersey guy, but he crisscrossed the state. And there are a lot of things that we still talk about today as strange Jersey stuff or unusual. This guy, the books he wrote, they're not the easiest reads. I will tell you that because Mike D, as you know, like if you read old timey newspapers,
I've read one of his books. Yeah.
The language is, people handled things differently as far as language and grammar. It's a little antiquated and hard to figure out sometimes. That being said, if you're a lover of Jersey or you, if you're looking for a gift for somebody who loves Jersey, Forgotten Towns of Southern New Jersey, More Forgotten Towns of Southern New Jersey, Tales and Towns of Northern New Jersey. Then he wrote a book called Jersey Genesis, The Story of the Mullica River.
Oh, cool.
The Roads of Home, Lanes and Legends of New Jersey, which I remember really liking that one when I read it. That one's just about all sorts of strange Jersey roads. Then there's one called The Jersey Midlands, Landmarks and Legends. And then Fair to Midlands, Forgotten Towns of Central New Jersey. So you can see this guy had a theme. He famous, like the reason we still talk about Ong's Hat is because this fucking guy, Henry Charlton Beck, went and wrote about Ong's Hat. I was reading up on him today, and apparently that was the first one. He was working for a newspaper in Southern Jersey, and he just heard about this town called Ong's Hat, and he drove out there, and there was still a handful of people living there, and he's like, what is this place, and why is it called Ong's Hat? Brian Donahue is the modern Henry Charlton Beck. In a big way. Awesome. Like, let's just drive around the state and find the weird, fucked up things. Are they easy reads? No. No. Like, you got to be really patient and get in the rhythm. Like, watching Deadwood, right? You got to get used to that language and that style. But if you are building yourself a Jersey bookshelf, you need to get some Henry Charlton Beck on there. Because so many things. I mean, The Ghost of the White Pilgrim up in Sussex County. I remember him writing about that. Just any weird little town, forgotten thing, ghost story you could find. He was the original Jersey folklorist in a big way. And I'm sure there were people doing that type of work before him. But as far as the Jersey pride that we have, and that is the Weird New Jersey Brian Donahue's of the world, I really think this guy is kind of the headwaters of all of it.
I mean the language is kind of archaic, but he does a really good job of giving you the personality of the places that he's talking about. It's not like,
yeah,
I went here and there was this town and a bunch of weird people lived there. Like it's all very much told like a story, like about him kind of going, you know, to these places. It's almost more like, it almost reads a little bit like an old novel versus like a history book. I enjoyed the book of his that I read quite a bit.
A lot of it will be, I heard about this thing with an unusual name, so I just started driving. And you got to realize this is in like the 30s. Him driving through the Pine Barrens, can you imagine how desolate it is? And he's like,
in a rickety old Model T, you know?
He's probably in some fucking Studebaker.
On the same fire roads that are there? Yeah.
And he's,
you know what he reminds me of? Up in the Old Hotel by Joseph Mitchell, which I believe you have also.
Oh yes,
which is one of my favorite books.
You gave me a copy of that book, and I think it is cut from the same cloth. Whereas that was a look at kind of hidden corners of New York, this is a look at hidden corners of New Jersey. But a lot of it will be like, I heard about this thing. So I drove out there and I found three houses in the woods. So I knocked on the door and here's what the fucking people said. And he just kind of awesome. Quotes them. And it's pretty great stuff once you settle into the rhythm of it. Takes some getting used to, but it's pretty awesome.
And also,
it's my first recommendation. I want to see people up and down the shore reading old Henry Charlton Beck books this summer.
And he's also the Reverend Henry Charlton Beck. So,
Oh yeah, he's an actual reverend. He's an actual reverend. He's
also an actual reverend, man of the cloth.
I did look that up.
What denomination?
Actually, that's a good segue. Because one of the books that I want to recommend.
Take that ball and run with it, baby.
I would like to recommend Reintroducing Jesus, Uncovering Jesus in the Misinformation Age, written by my friend and buddy, Steve DeSebastian.
Oh, cool.
Now, this is, written by a Jersey guy through and through. Steve's a buddy of mine. This is a really cool book because it's basically like he's making the argument of whether or not Jesus was a real historical person, but in a very like easy to understand way. So like, you know, it's not really like about religion. It's more of a history book in a way. It's really cool read. And I definitely enjoyed it a bit. Cause like, to be honest, I think a lot of like religion has nothing to do with history. So this is just a really cool take on like going back to actual like sources and historical things that happened. And I always think we should prop up Jersey people writing cool books.
Why don't you associate religion with history?
I don't think I ever did before. I just kind of in my mind, it was like,
oh,
some of it seemed so fantastic.
There were separate things. Like it wasn't happening.
Yeah. Like I just wasn't really sure, you know, like whether or not, like obviously like, you know, like, yeah, the Romans kept like pretty good records of stuff, but outside that it's, you know, gets a little dicey in the old world, you know, but this is a cool, definitely a cool book. People should check out.
And the Jesus. Connection to Jersey is the author is from Jersey.
Author is as Jersey as they come, man.
I love it. And I also trust your opinions on things like this because you, but actually more your brother, well before.
It's the best of your whole dialogue.
Dude, well before the Da Vinci Code, your brother was convincing all of us in high school to read the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And this was in the early 90s. And no,
that is correct.
No one was talking about this book. And it was a very, very, I remember reading it and being less Catholic by the end of my time reading it. Just being like, this shit is dark.
Yeah.
This Catholicism stuff cuts deep. And I mean, 90% of that, 95, 98% of that is bullshit. And that has all been proven to have just been made up pretty much as a novel. That being said, it is very convincing when you're 14 to be reading Holy Blood, Holy Grail and being like, everything I ever knew about the church was a lie.
I'll tell you what's convincing about that book is, what was it, two or three years ago, we were in Scotland together. And one of those days,
yes,
I decided to take a road trip outside of Edinburgh and go to Rosslyn Chapel, which is in Holy Blood and Holy Grail and the Da Vinci Code, where they say the Holy Grail is kept. And while we were there for a couple hours, a really cool place architecturally, like fascinating history, fascinating art there. There were literally people skulking around the place, like knocking on stones, like pulling out ear horns to listen.
Get so, out of here.
They must deal with that every goddamn day.
I said to
it
the
probably woman, brings tons of money there, yeah.
Well, I'm sure, it sure brings tons of money, but I said that it's a working church though. So I was speaking to one of the women there who was a volunteer, and I was like, you must have to deal with the craziest stuff all day long. And she was like, you don't even know. It's just like, I can't imagine. That book is extremely convincing to people.
It's awesome.
I do feel like, and again, that was your brother was the one really, really the evangelist for Holy Blood, Holy Grail. But you were definitely passed around too. And I feel like every once in a while on the show, I drop like another foundational piece of our early high school relationship. And I think anyone who grew up in the 90s is like, okay, yeah, Mike D had a fanzine. They all went to punk shows. They were the kids playing D&D and reading Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which was a book that felt like if your parents caught you reading it, you were going to get in fucking trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were going to be like, what is this? Explain it to me. This is not cool.
Oh, That, Behold the Pale Horse, and the Anarchist Cookbook were like the three books that you had to have.
The Anarchist Cookbook was probably, yeah.
Told my story about that on the show, right?
I don't know, but we have a couple.
I had a computer in my room, and it was real old. And my mom just donated it to Our Lady of Lourdes. Cut this, because I'm sure we've shared it before. I came home one day, and the computer just wasn't in my room. We had a newer one in the computer room. And I was like, Ma, where's that computer? And she's like, ah, well, we got the new one, so I just gave it to the church.
And the only
things on the hard drive were a copy of The Game Civilization, The Anarchist Cookbook, and so much pornography I'd collected in, I think it was 9th, 10th grade. And she just gave it to the church.
Wait, you never went and tried to get it back?
Full of fucking porn. No, what am I going to go down to the church and be like, give me back my computer. It's full of fucking instructions. I have information on there I have to get off.
Yeah, well, you're like, oh, who donated? Oh, my God.
I'm like, those goddamn fucking gifts took me 17 minutes to download each.
Oh, my God.
And if the phone got disconnected while you were halfway through downloading your porn, you had to go back to minute zero. You had to go all the way back until they put out the Z modem that could pick up where it left off. I'm like, the only things on it are like, oh, here's how you can use those plastic stick book covers to break windows and not have anybody hear it. And then also, here's a picture of a woman jerking off two men at once that took me 26 minutes to download from a weird BBS in Little Falls that has since been shut down, probably for distributing pornography to children like me. Oh, yeah. Ma, you got to let me wipe the hard drive next time. I'm halfway through my game. I play my game Civilization on there. You know, I'm sweating bullets. Like, are we going to get a call from a nun that's like, what the fuck is going on here, man? They can use a tennis ball and match heads to create a bomb.
You can make homemade napalm by
this is true.
shaving soap into gasoline with a cheese grater.
Styrofoam and gas, right?
And here's a picture of a here's a picture of a woman sucking a cop's dick on the hood of a cop car that it took me 12 entire minutes to download from a BBS in Whippany that I didn't realize Whippany was far enough away that it was long distance. So when my mom was like, why do we have all these long distance charges to Whippany? I had to lie and say it was because I was downloading Star Wars pictures.
It's so weird. Like, when you talk about the Anarchist Cookbook, there's two books that were really influential in my childhood. One was the Boy Scout Handbook. The other one was the Anarchist
Cookbook. Similar books in a lot of ways.
And they both kind of went hand in hand. And
I do like that nobody put it on their list, but the Anarchist Cookbook has showed up in our summer reading list recommendations.
Does it even exist anymore?
Oh, definitely.
It must.
Yeah, you could find it. They got it. Yeah.
I'm sure the archive, nobody's updating that.
They did. There was like some kind of, I feel like I just saw some kind of documentary about it and like a story about the Anarchist Cookbook. I don't know. It was mentioned in something. It was really interesting. It was kind of funny. But I was like, we literally went through fucking page by page and like, tried to do anything that could explode or fucking light on fire.
I remember once we read in there, there was a section about making homemade drugs.
Oh, yeah. Fucking and nutmeg. We smoked nutmeg one night in your backyard.
Bake the banana peel.
Oh, yeah. That was the best. That's the best story ever about Mike D's dad on multiple occasions finding weird things behind his garage and on top of the roof. One of those being fucking banana peels that we were lining up on the roof of Mike D's garage to dry him out so we could smoke him.
Like a dozen banana peels laid out in the sun back there. Although the weirdest find that he had, though, was when he discovered my brother tanning hot dog skins into leather to try to make Dungeons & Dragons-style boots.
Franny knows. Just like Vid. Just like our boy Vid.
I want to put a pledge out there.
Do you want to hear something?
Oh, wait. I do want to hear something. If this episode's all tangents, I'm totally okay with that.
So I'm driving home the other day, and I get a text message from Brian Donahue. And he says, I just got done interviewing Vin Gulpo. I was
like, what?
He goes, I mentioned your name. And I said, you just ruined your entire credibility from that moment on as a journalist.
Brian Donahue mentioned you to Vin Gulpo?
Did he bring up my fucking name? I was like, why did I? I'm trying to get away from this incident.
For anybody who maybe has missed the recent episode,
people in my union,
Nick recently went on a rant because he's mad that State Senator Vin Gopal publishes a magazine that leaves it in diner lobbies in Monmouth County to promote himself, and went on a big rant where he claims that Vin Gopal, who is a state senator, farms the elderly and skins them into handbags. What was his reaction when Brian brought you up?
I never heard anything past that because I have a bad feeling it's going to come out like somehow. I'm sure when Brian's prepared to...
I like that you guys are buddies.
Share that information, he will.
I like that you guys are buddies.
Well, it's always like... I think maybe now it's summer, I'll run.
Yeah, out on the boards, man.
But yeah, one of my... I was like, when I got that text, I'm like, oh my God. Why is this credible person mentioning me?
I would like to now make my pledge. And if anybody wants to do this book club style, I'm totally down. I think everybody has picked up on the fact that I'm a real big comic book fan. In fact, one of the early bonding things of our crew was that me and Mike D's brother, Fran, really, really bonded hard over comic books. And we still do today. Every time we hang out, we touch base largely about our shared love of the X-Men. Fran is also the one who tipped me off to Cerebro, which is a podcast I'm obsessed with. 90% of my entertainment is now just listening to podcasts where queer people talk about the X-Men. There's a whole world of queer lens X-Men podcasts that Fran has turned me on to.
Really?
And they're just fucking great podcasts. They're the best. But one thing that we haven't talked about, at least not in a while, is that there is a New Jersey superhero now. And a super well-regarded one. Ms. Marvel. Nope. Ms. Carmenuch. Oh, dude, the Carmenuch comic book. It would be half an issue long before he's defeated by his arch villain, his own grandfather. Beats the shit out of him on a street in Belleville. No, Ms. Marvel is a character that... There's the Ms. Marvel TV show on Disney Plus. It's great. I watched the movie The Marvels on a plane. It kind of got panned by the critics. I watched it. I was like, it's a pretty fucking fun movie, man. It's a pretty fun movie. It's about Captain Marvel, the other Captain Marvel, and Ms. Marvel. And Ms. Marvel is Jersey's superhero. She's based in Jersey City in the comics. She's Pakistani. She was very, very notable for being, I think, the first Muslim superhero to have their own book, if I remember right. But she's a young girl and really critically praised comics. People flipped the fuck out, not just because of the cultural relevance of like female Muslim superhero and all the sort of cool things about that, but also just straight up, it's great. It's well written. And there's actually a lot of really smart people who, you know, are obsessive about comic books like I am, who have effectively said that she's the most Marvel Comics character since Peter Parker. That basically the whole idea of Marvel Comics being like, hey, these are kind of young, inspiring underdog people who are outsiders trying to figure out how to fit in the world. That's Peter Parker, which is, you know, the Fantastic Four and the Hulk predated Spider-Man, but Spider-Man is what made Marvel Comics a cultural sensation. The Fantastic Four first, Spider-Man second. Those were the big ones. And you know, Spider-Man was just massive for decades now. A lot of people are saying kind of the most Marvel character outside of Spider-Man is now Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, Jersey City. And it's a book that's set in Jersey City. The writer is a woman named G. Willow Wilson, who grew up in Monmouth County, moved out, I think, in her preteen years, but grew up in Monmouth County and converted to Islam later in life. So it's got Jersey roots both in the character and the creator. And I have to say, I've watched the show and loved it. Saw the movie that she was in and loved the character. I also think that actor fucking crushes it and has real good comic chops. But I've never gone back and read all the comics. And by all accounts, they're fucking awesome. So I'm going to commit to doing that this summer. And if anybody wants to be a nerd and talk to me about Ms. Marvel Comics, I'm going to go back. Marvel Unlimited is a great app. If you don't have it, you can read tons of old Marvel comics on it. And I'm sure all of the Ms. Marvel stuff is on there. She made her first appearance in a background cameo in Captain Marvel number 14 in 2013. And then there was an anthology in January 2014 she appeared in, and then had a solo series from 2014 to 2019, and a second solo series from 2019 to 2021, and then a few limited series. So there has not been all that much Captain Marvel, but everybody has flipped out and said that it's going to be... I've heard very, very smart people saying in 20, 30, 50 years, people are going to talk about Marvel as being Spider-Man and this character, that it's going to build into that, that it's going to become foundational to the Marvel universe in that same way. So I'm ready to sink my teeth in if anybody else wants to go there.
You don't want to read the whole run of The Punisher starting at number one?
Oh, I mean, I've read it a few times. That always was your jam. That always was your jam.
Yeah, that is always my favorite comic.
Yeah, I do think that... Am I remembering right that Garth Ennis is now mired in some controversy?
I have no idea.
No, who is that? Is that Garth Ennis? I don't want to make any false accusations.
You want to know, one of the only comics that I read was The Nom regularly.
Of course you read The fucking Nom.
Again, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't even read normal comic books. So, like, I was reading about aliens and war.
Dude, The Nom, for anybody listening who's like, what are they talking about? The Nom was a very strange comic that I just picked up every comic at some point. So, but it was basically just like, here's a comic book coming out in the late 80s, early 90s that's weird stories about shit that happened in Vietnam. It wasn't superheroes, right?
Yeah, there's all characters. It was
like a war comic.
It was also about their struggles when they came back and stuff. I was very obsessed with the Vietnam War when I was a kid. I used to read everything about it, like how they fought, everything, like. And I think it was the influence of like our parents' generation and their service in Vietnam. And we were at a weird time growing up too, when all the Vietnam movies were coming out, Full Metal Jacket, Platoon, Hamburger Hill, like all that shit. And it was like, you know, if you grew up with Vietnam veterans, you know, it can be a touchy subject. It's like any war. Like, we're going to have a generation of people coming back from all these terrible wars we've been fighting and the trauma that they experienced. So I think it's interesting and relevant. You know, it'll be relevant again.
Mike T, what else is on your list? I'm tapped out. Henry Charlton Beck as the recommendation to have a cool jersey bookshelf. Ms. Marvel, if anyone wants to go book club style. What is that you're holding up? That looks awesome.
How about the Jersey Sting? Chris Christie and the most brazen case of Jersey style corruption ever.
Oh, wow.
New Jersey's infamous for its corrupt political culture. That's the lead. And the Jersey Sting reveals a remarkable story of the state's most notorious case.
Oh, that's your boy.
Fascinating about this is the book is just a given. The premise of the book is that New Jersey is just the most corrupt place.
Correct.
And the whole pitch in the book is, look, New Jersey, we all know it's the most corrupt place, but this is something else. Like, basically breaking down this as being so far beyond like the pale of sanity for elected government people to act. I mean, and I think it's almost insane now to think that Chris Christie could be considered to run for president after having been involved in this insane situation. I mean, this literally is like the worst.
Why does anything shock you?
Is it a Bridgegate book or no?
Yeah, I mean, there's more than that, but that's like the central thing, is that just like his whole administration was so corrupt, and that Bridgegate is just kind of like the like the final act of this corruption.
They're like, we're so fucked up, we're going to shut down the bridges.
Well, it is amazing that he ran against Trump in the primary as like Trump's, the one who's like, I'm the Republican willing to stand up and say that Trump's a fascist who will take his power and wield it like a dictator. It's like, motherfucker.
And then
you shut down one of the biggest crossings in the world because of your ego, and ambulances couldn't get through. Like, you did that.
And
you're the voice of reason.
And then you became revenge.
You set up all your cronies to take the fall for you unapologetically. Not even, and right. And he basically walked away again to run for president, where pretty much, you know, all his cronies got smeared with a pretty dark brush.
Oh, they all have government jobs again. Research them and see where they're all working now.
I'm sure. What else do we got? Jersey Sting looks good. Have you read that one yet, or you just have that copy waiting to go?
No, I've read it already.
Good?
Like, no, I've got a whole stack. Yeah, it's awesome.
Nice. Mike T has a stack, a literal stack of Jersey-themed books.
So this one is pretty cool. So this is called Abandoned Ruins on Public Lands in New Jersey, Forgotten and Unknown Parts, by someone named Kathleen Butler. What's really cool about this book, though, is it has all these places like Split Rock Furnace, the Cape May Bunkers, and it actually tells you how to get there, where it's legal to go, and gives you sort of a history and a little like walk around each one. That's so it's awesome. Cool. So if you're looking for interesting places to go, but you know, don't necessarily want to research them on your own or get into trouble. This is cool. Like, it even has the GPS coordinates of all these different places. And there's a ton. Like, this could easily keep you busy for a summer, you know, like if you're looking for places in Jersey. And it is like actual old ruins, a lot of like forges and iron works and things like that. So definitely worth,
that's awesome, worth
having in your car for adventures. Yeah. How about the Idea Factory, Bell Labs, and the Great Age of American Innovation, which I might have suggested before, awesome. But I really like this book. I think it's especially interesting now because what Bell Labs has become is moving to New Brunswick. So they're doing a massive, massive redevelopment that they're starting on right now. So it's pretty cool. Like, you can read this.
They've been in Holmdel forever, right?
Yeah.
Is it Holmdel?
Yeah. It's, yep. Yeah. Yeah. They've been old. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, that place is awesome.
For decades. And yeah. And I mean, people don't realize, and I feel like we don't chatter enough. So much of what we use today from technology came out of Bell Labs. It was just a collection of scientists inventing. I mean, the whole phone system, which led to the entire internet, like, it's a lot of it's got its roots in Bell Labs.
I mean, basically every,
that's what we fucking stopped doing, you know,
everything that led to the modern computer industry came from Bell Labs, more or less. Like, everything came right out of there, and tons of other stuff too, like medical stuff and a lot of things that sound kind of boring, like figuring out how to make electricity transmission way more efficient, right? Like, that sounds like boring on paper. When you think about it, it's like, oh, wait, if we can make it more efficient, that's why you can have electricity, you know, all over the place, like, pretty easily now. It's a fascinating book. It's really worth reading.
Dude, Bell Labs, just out of the gate on the Wikipedia,
there's like hundreds of things.
An American industrial research and scientific development company. Researchers from Bell Labs are credited with the development of radio astronomy, the transistor, the laser, the photovoltaic cell, the charge coupled device, information theory, the Unix operating system, the programming languages B, C, C++, S, SNOBOL, AWK, AMPL, and others. 10 Nobel Prizes and 5 Turing Awards have been awarded for work completed at Bell Laboratories. And it all started with the telephone.
I mean, there you go, right?
Cool.
That's crazy. And they're moving to New Brunswick. I mean, that's going to be Jersey, baby. That's going to be brutal for Holmdel and huge for New Brunswick, huh?
You think they're gonna close the other facility altogether? I bet.
I think it's been mostly closed for a while.
Yeah, it's all like, I mean, it's like a public, not, you know, it's like you can lease space there and restaurants and shit like that.
Yeah, and then they have some other locations around here, but they're like consolidating everything into New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And are they still as influential as they used to be?
I mean, it's been like broken up and sold a couple of times, right? So I think, like, I want to say maybe Nokia or one of those companies or Siemens, somebody bought it, it got sold again, but I think it's still like, they still do pretty real research from what I can gather. I just don't think it's not as dominant, right? Because every company, they don't do things for the public good, right? All their research is kept quiet these days.
I mean, they still had a guy, win a Nobel Prize in 2014. That's so badass. Yeah, Nokia seems to own it now. That's awesome. I want to borrow that one from you.
Yeah, I'll give it to you next time I see you. You got it. It's worth reading. I mentioned, we actually did a whole show where we talked about this a lot, but I do want to also bring up again The Secret History of the Jersey Devil, How Quakers, Hucksters, and Benjamin Franklin Created a Monster by Brian Regal and Frank J. Esposito. Such a cool book. Just a completely, you know, completely different take on the Jersey Devil legend. And my big takeaway was Quakers were out of their minds in a good way, but they were pretty crazy people.
Really? Because I've always been under the impression that the Quakers were chill.
No, at least according to this book. Well, think about it. They couldn't have been that chill if they got booted out of England. They had to leave England because their beliefs were so extreme that they were like, all right, we've got to leave or there's going to be a huge problem here. And so they did have a pretty radical set of beliefs, you know?
Yeah.
And still that way, nudity, I mean, and shaming seemed to be a big part of this. Shame was big for the Quakers.
Shame.
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 Shame. What else should we be reading? Quaker shame, shame. Bell Lab Innovations, Jersey Sting, lists of abandoned foundries. Your reading list is impeccable, Mike D. I would expect nothing less.
Well, and again, we've had you know, we've had talked about this on the show before, but Castle Dracula and Dungeon Employees Handbook Illustrated,
oh, yeah,
which is an amazing, amazing comic by our buddy Michael DeSorco, who's been on the show before. So this is another good summer read to pick up because it is extremely Wildwood and Jersey Shore focused. And it's basically a lovely, lovingly illustrated panel by panel remake of the employee handbook for Castle Dracula, which was a strange boardwalk haunted house that no longer exists.
I would suggest reading that in Wildwood this summer. Sit on the boardwalk on a bench in Wildwood and read that graphic novel about Wildwood. That's the move right there.
I'm sure you'd make a lot of friends. People would probably come up to you and be like, I remember Castle Dracula.
You go, you get some Coors, eat the custard, you feel good.
You play Fascination. Was that what that game was?
We got to go find that fucking game. We got to go play it sometime this summer.
Yeah, we've got to play Fascination.
I think there's one in Wildwoods, right?
I think that might be the last or one of the last places that has it, yeah. The
last one in New Jersey, yeah. Yeah.
Did you say Fascination?
Yeah, it was a...
I thought you were saying about a strip club. I think there's a strip club called Fascination. Almost positive, I swear to God. Anyway. I was like, Fascination.
I think this is some type of fairly complex sounding boardwalk gambling game where you roll balls into something, but there's like lights. Yeah.
Oh, those are the best. Yeah, lots of boardwalk.
Anything
gambling.
Else
that's
on
probably,
your
that's probably your best bet at this point.
There was one more actually. So another book that I'm just wrapping up now. It's called Islands of Abandonment. This book is really cool. It's by a woman named Cal Flynn, who I believe is a Scottish researcher scientist. And she goes around the world and basically sort of does the ecology of abandoned places. So she goes to these huge slag piles in Scotland. But one of the places she goes is the Passaic River. And kind of does this sort of ecology of the Passaic River and why there's all these sort of abandoned things and different parts about the pollution. And from what I could gather, her tour guide on this was Wheeler.
Oh, that's awesome.
Been on the show before.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I kept missing his,
it's a cool book.
He was doing those live shows with, especially I think it was at the Newark Library and stuff like that. I'm so mad I missed it.
This is a cool book to read. And again, only one of the chapters is about Jersey, but I think people will really like this book. She's a great writer and she makes really complicated biology things really simple to understand because I'm not the best person with that kind of science, but I was able to get what she was saying really easily.
What a cool lane to discover for yourself. The ecology of abandoned places.
She might
niche thing.
Like the organisms that take over when something's abandoned and like what grows in what areas and stuff like that. Is that
exactly like, for instance, in Scotland, they used to have a huge, huge shale mining industry. And then when oil prices got all crazy in the 60s, that entire industry shut down, but they had like tens of millions of pounds of broken shale, right? Which is just stone. And they just piled it all up in basically these mountains outside of one of the cities in Scotland. And over time, they sort of got by themselves naturally repopulated. And now all these like rare flowers and birds, and there's an entire ecosystem that grew up on these, you know, like industrial waste piles. You know, it's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
That's a good list.
It is. And if people are interested, the musical, I've realized I didn't say the name. It's called The Devil and Daisy Dirt. And it's by someone who I think is a writing professor at Rutgers called Alex Dawson, who is also in the show. And it was great. Like, definitely, if you have a chance to see this, I would really, really, really recommend it. It's very cool.
It looks like it keeps playing around. Let's see where else. There's an article about it. Alex Dawson. Oh, just the poster looks fucking cool. A Garden State Gothic Alt Folk event. It's a pretty good way to bill yourself.
That sounds like fun.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I want to go see it next time it's up. We should talk to those people.
Yeah, you'd enjoy it.
I'm down. I'm into it. Who's going to read? You guys haven't committed. I'm sure we'll get some listeners. Anybody else into reading Ms. Marvel comics with me? I know Franny will be down.
How long is it? Like hundreds of issues or like...
It's not too many. No, it's like pretty limited bursts. You know who I'm going to get the collection. I'll get the... Dude, I'm going to get all... I'm going to figure out if there's a big collection. I'm going to get it for Ada and then you can peek over her shoulder. But she'll fucking love it.
Yes, we...
She'll love it.
She did watch the TV show, and I watched some of it with her, so I thought that was good.
Yeah, it's good times.
Not as good as One Piece, which is a good...
We all know.
Good new TV show in that world. It's like a new sort of... It was a famous, I think, Japanese comic, and they've turned it into a... Or an anime show, and they've turned it into a live-action TV show, which has very cool art direction.
We all know, of course, Nikki Bonaduce's number one reading item is to Rage Read... The Vingopal promotional magazines left in diners all over Monmouth County. That's the number one thing on your reading list. I just love it.
I'm going to start, doing a podcast from...
Have you ever actually read an issue?
I was just at the Blue Swan. I started going to a diner over here because I found a diner that like I like and has, it's like just a solid diner. Breakfast is always good. Burgers, whatever. Pass the burger test. It's the Blue Swan over here. It's close. And I go there just because they have all the different papers and I like to like... read through the fucking want ads for cars, boats, and then also strange political rants about how glorious you are.
Love it. I love it. Well, everybody, let us know what you're reading. Let us know what you're on board to read based on what's been laid out here. We'll have discussion in the comments on the Patreon.
Oh, our reader, wait.
Patreon.com/New Jersey is
welcome. There's one more. Oh, I forgot. Eric, one of our readers. Thank you, Eric. He actually sent a... entire list of really cool books about New Jersey, but one of his recommendations was any of the books about South Jersey by Barry Caselli, but he also recommended this other book which I've just gotten but I haven't read yet, called Shadow in the Pines by Stephen W. Meter, set during World War II in the pines and shores along Manahawkin and Barnegat and Fort Dix. It includes spies and real cool Hardy Boys type stuff, but right in our backyard.
That sounds like one for you, buddy.
And you can get
that. Sounds... Ooh.
I immediately ordered a copy of this, so I'm very excited to read.
Can this re-inspire me to start reading again, maybe?
Could be the one.
Maybe this will lead to you... going back to school and getting a doctorate. Shadow in the Pines. Will lead to a renewed enthusiasm for academia.
Okay, so if I hit the lottery, I'm going back to school. I know that. And if I hit the lottery, I already have it planned out. I'm going back to West Virginia. I'm going to buy some kind of gigantic commune. I'm going to live up there. And I'm going to go to school full time for the rest of my life.
Nice.
I love it. I love it. Good luck on the Powerball, Nikki Bonaduce. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, man. That's the plan.
Hey everybody, how's it going? This is the voice of super producer and editor Carson Kopp here to wrap up the old episode for you. Summer reading lists, all excellent recommendations, suggestions, and advisories. Cautionary tales, Canterbury Tales. Personally, I will be reading the owner's manual of my new car. I'd like to thank everybody who prayed for me a couple weeks ago. It resolved itself, not in the way that I would have liked, but it all came out in the wash, and for the better. So, who's complaining? Hey, I want to give a huge thank you to everybody who came out to the Ghost Hawk Brewing Company last night for a heck of a listener meetup party with sounds by Carney's own TV Sound. I want to give a huge shout out to Jeff, Paul, and Dave, the finest, in my opinion, power trio that Hudson, Essex, or Passaic County ever had to offer. Hit after hit, ladies and gentlemen, sounding good, looking good, and there you have it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been hip to it yet, New Jersey is the World is a participatory project, and we need your calls to keep the thing moving. How does it work? Well... you dial with your cellular phone, 973-780-4660. Leave a message on our Google answering machine here at the home office. Any feedback that you have in regards to anything that has or hasn't happened on New Jersey is the World. There it is. That's how you do it. That's how you become Gobba gobba hey, we accept you one of us. Or gooble gobble, I think was the original term from that weird-ass movie that the Ramones co-adopted. For their own selfish purposes that I have now hijacked. For my own use. Is he still talking? He's still talking. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. We've got a heck of a summer all lined up for you, and the dominoes will fall, one at a time, in probably no specific order. Completely not in the order that we've planned. But so long as they fall, they shall fall. And that's all I got for you this week. Bang the line. Listen to the old archive, for it is an archive at this point. And show up for the damn shows. They're a lot of fun. We've been doing them at Ghost Talk. A couple things in the works. Don't want to let it go too soon. So stay tuned and have a lovely day. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much from me and the rest of the crew. And we shall talk to you soon. Later.